All right. I'm not going to give my talk title away just yet. I don't know if these talks are recorded and named or anything, but they are. Okay, well, it'll be a surprise. Don't be surprised yet. It will be a surprise. All right. Isaiah 28, if you could turn to that, please. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, and in verse 20, it says, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." And I think a few of us can relate to a situation like this. Maybe Roland as well. There's a few people like this. Tall people, they can't really fit on a bed, skinny little blankets. And it makes for a real tough night of sleep, doesn't it, Caleb? Resorting to putting shorts on your head, I don't know, whatever he wants to do, but it makes for a pretty rough night. If you've got a bed that's too short and you're hanging off it, you're not very comfortable. If you've got a blanket that's way too small, narrow is what the description is, like that's just annoying. You can't wrap yourself up. And when I sleep, I'm tucked in, like wrapped up around. It's great. But without a blanket that's big enough to cover me, it's a depressing sleep. You don't really get much of it at all. You just can't get comfortable. You're not really ever. And the description of this is like just the lack of satisfaction. You just can't just be relaxed. And that's a pretty good description of what the world is like. And that's what this scripture is kind of describing. Without God, it's like a bed that's too small and a blanket that's too small. It's just not comfortable. You are never satisfied. You're out there chasing a bigger blanket or a bigger bed. The discomfort, it weighs on you over time, night after night after night. Not that song, day after day, but night after night, that it's gonna add up. That bad sleep, the discomfort, it's just gonna weigh on you more. It's gonna be more and more discomfortable. You're not looking forward to going to bed. And it's a perfect description of what the world is today. It's too small. The blanket's too small. It's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. There's a constant lack of satisfaction out there of everyone in the world. A constant restlessness. It's a key word later, restlessness. And a desire to find a bigger blanket. You know, everyone's out there trying to chase a bigger blanket, a bigger bed. They're on the grind. They're in the rat race, as Pastor Phil was saying. There's a constant grind to try and find something that's going to satisfy them, to fill that gap, to fill that blanket-sized hole in their lives. Who's ever lost something? I've lost something all the time. Who's ever lost a set of keys? Is that... Can't get in your house, can't get in your car. If you're already in the house and you lost your keys, that's all right. But it's annoying, right? I feel like I lose my keys like every week. And you just go through the usual little routine of, all right, is it in the bedroom? Is it in the kitchen? Is it in the... you've got little like checkpoints that you go through. And it's not there. And you're like, okay, all right, well, now I'm going to start checking some weird spots. So you check the microwave, the letterbox, maybe the gutters or something. Like, you start getting pretty desperate and you're like, all right, okay, where the heck are these keys? And it's that feeling of just... unrest until you find them. You're just like, well, I need these keys. I can't leave the house until I got these keys. Or if you're outside the house and you don't find the keys, well, that's a whole other problem. But it's just this unrestlessness and it's just kind of this unsatisfactory. You find what you've lost. Well, who's ever been lost? I've not been lost, but if you've ever been lost, that's probably even worse because you're trying to find where you are. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to find where the heck you need to be. So that you're just not really feeling great until you know where your bearings are. Luckily, I've not been lost before. But I'm imagining it'd be a pretty scary situation, depending on the situation as well. And that's what the world is like. They're looking for this set of keys still. They're just trying to find their keys to satisfy that restlessness. Let's turn to the story of the Israelites, Exodus chapter 2. We had a good little description of this story from Robin last night via song. But Exodus chapter 2. Oh, sorry, what did I say? Yep, chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And in verse 23, and it says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by the reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked up upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3 and verse 10, we'll continue on. So chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the land, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a God, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all those different groups of people. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression where the Egyptians have oppressed them. So obviously at this stage, this is the story of the Israelites. They're stuck being slaves under the Egyptians, and they're having a pretty rough time, as we heard in Roman's song. The Egyptians are treating them pretty rough. They're all slaves. The Israelites are now slaves under the Egyptians, and they're having it pretty tough. They're oppressed. You know, they're slaves to these people. And obviously being a slave to someone in this situation is not, you're not going to ever feel satisfied, or, you know, you're going to be constant unrestlessness. You don't get to do what you want to do. You're told what to do all the time. I'm sure they're feeling of powerlessness, unsafe, and this constant feeling of just, it's unfair. Like, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I in this situation? No time to relax. You're always just beckon on cold. You just, no time just to sit back and just rest. The Israelites in this story, they were just dominated and punished by the way of the Egyptians, as we heard from Robin. And so, like the people of the world, they're just dominated and oppressed by this world. And we were once too, before we had the Lord, we were once just searching and lost and just dominated by this world. And we were just slaves of the world. This constant state of unrest. And it was out of our control. We couldn't do anything about it. We were just a slave to this world. So let's turn to Psalms chapter 55. Psalms chapter 55. And in verse 4, Psalms 55, verse 4, it says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. How amazing is that scripture? This situation of this world is so overwhelming. It's full of death, it's full of terror, it's dark and it's nasty. Oh, just to be able to just fly away and rest from it, just to be separate from it, just have a break from this world and just rest for a bit. And that's what this world is chasing. They're trying to find this blanket just to be able to rest, you know, the perfect size blanket, something just to be able to calm them and just rest, you know. That's what this world is chasing. That's what some of us were searching for, searching through churches. They were really trying to find. Other people were searching in a different way. They weren't trying to find this, like, a solution. They were just trying to fill their lives up with the nonsense of the world. You know, buying materialistic things, you know, trying to work their way up through jobs, careers, houses, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're trying to fill that gap, find their keys. But other people are just trying to find that rest, resulting in still this unrestlessness in their lives or in our lives in the past as well. So what is our rest? What can solve this? In Matthew chapter 11, we can turn there. Matthew chapter 11. And in verse 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Such an amazing promise that he can take all our cares and worries away and he'll give us rest. Just cast all our things, all our problems in our lives. As we are saved now, anything that we're going through, all our trials and tribulations and difficulties, health problems, work problems, life problems, family problems, anything, just give it to him and he will give us rest. How awesome is the feeling of just being able to just dump something on someone? You know, you're overloaded and you're busy and you just go, hey, can you just help me out and just do this for me? And they're like, yep, no worries. You don't have to think about it. You just got that rest on that thing. And it's such a good feeling to be able to, we can just cast everything onto the Lord. And he wants us to do that, everything on our mind. Doesn't want us to hold it, doesn't want us to carry it. He's going to carry all of it for us. It says, all those that are labor and heavy laden, those that are sick of chasing and trying to find that missing piece, just give it unto him and he will give us rest. But I think there's an even bigger promise of rest. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1. So he's promised us already that he can give us rest by casting all our cares and problems unto him. Everything that we're going through, that'll give us rest. But if we go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. That promise of eternal life, I think that's our biggest rest. That's the thing that we can grasp onto the most and just have that feeling of just at ease. We don't have to strive anymore. We're not trying to find that blanket. We have that rest now. We have that receipt and we have that inheritance, that promise of inheritance, and we don't have to chase that anymore. When we got baptized and we got, you know, as Israelites passed through the water and we got baptized, we now have a life with him. It's like we're standing in line to a restaurant. We've already made a booking though. We've already called up ahead and we've made a booking and we've reserved a seat there. But the rest of the world, they're wandering around trying to get into a restaurant without a reservation and they're getting turned away. There's no booking. And we've already made that phone call. We've got, yep, we've got a booking there. So we can just stand in line patiently. We know we've got the booking. It's already reserved for us. We don't have to stand there restlessly, stressed. Are we going to get that seat? Are we going to make it? No, we are. We're already baptized. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We've made that reservation. Now it's our job to let other people know. Just call up. Just get baptized. Get the Holy Spirit. You'll have a reserve. You'll have that peace. You'll have that restlessness. You'll be at rest. You won't have that restlessness. You'll be at rest. Our job now is to not walk away from that line. The line we're in towards this restaurant, heaven, don't leave the line. Just stay in line. Just stay in your line. You could be standing in line for 5 years, 10 years, or as Israelites were standing in line for 40 years through the wilderness, just waiting for the promise. That's what we have to do now. We just have to wait in line. We've got the promise. We've got the reservation. Just wait there. But we still have work to do. We can't just be lazy standing in line. The end of the Matthew verse that I said, it says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's still a level of burden there. There's still a little bit of work to do. He's taken all our cares and worries away, but our burden is still light. There's something still left for us to do. Don't turn there, but in Psalms 128, in verse 2, it says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. And at the beginning of that is, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. So there's still a little bit of labor and work to do. God wants us to work for him. We are still servants unto God, but we're not slaves of the world anymore. So there's still work for us to do. We can still go out there, do what the scriptures say, preach the word, build up this church, you know, be used in the gifts, be used in the spirit, be used in every single way possible. But we're not slaves of the world. We're not trying to find this hole anymore. We're not restless. We've got that rest. We've got that peace, but we still have a job to do. So not be lazy. So don't be like some of the Israelites when they're walking through the wilderness. Some of them lost their way and they forgot that ultimate goal of the land of milk and honey. Let's not forget that. Stand in line and be firm and know that our inheritance is assured. And all the people said, amen.